Now, you see what I'm saying? That Aquila couldn't hear God day one. Not because God did not speak. God spoke before Priscilla. Not because God did not speak. God spoke before she was born. But Priscilla could not hear. So God is clearing out all the wax in her ears. And it's not just because God wants to speak like that, but God wants to build her up so that she can prove what the will of God is. So that when she wants to counsel people tomorrow, don't ever forget, Christians, your life is not just about you. He said, when you have been converted, what do? You strengthen your brethren. God said, look, Priscilla, you must help other women after you. Therefore, you must come to a realization of what the will of God is. What we do a lot in Christianity today is that we confuse ourselves. That's a good word to use, confuse. In that I say, you know, I've told you my gist several times. One brother came to me and said, did God speak to you concerning the wife you marry? I said, yes, he did. He said, what did he say? I said, the officiating minister said, I pronounce you man and wife. And he started laughing. I said, listen, oh boy, until that time I married the woman that I liked. Then we began to discuss, which kind of woman do I like? How do we confuse ourselves? We say, bro, amen. Then suddenly put on a spiritual garb. You want to hear how the Lord spoke to me? No problem. Did you have time? Did you have time? You have time, yes. All right. On day one, I entered into the heavens. I said, bro, how did you do that? He said, you don't know that one? Okay, let's make an appointment for how to discuss how to enter into the heavens. Then we'll start discussing that one. So they say, you start with praise. You know, the Bible says that you enter his courts with praise. So, you go and look for one nice wrong cannoli. You begin to worship. Hey, mama. You continue to worship until you lose sight of the environment. Oh, if you open your eyes and you still see the ceiling in your room, then you have not reached it yet. You say, how long did that one take? Say, the first day, boy, I worship for 15 hours. The guy go look like, say, oh, guy, I work in a bank. They no go give me that kind of 15 hours. He said, you go take leave. It's a serious matter. He said, okay, when we enter the heavens, uncle, then I began to approach the throne of God. The Bible says, by grace. Say, how did we use grace to approach? I'll tell you. Grace is when the word of God is coming forth from your mouth rapidly. So you get some scriptures. Memorize them, like 25 of them before you start. Then you finally you behold the face of God. You say, what now happened? Then God now said to me, thou, my son, shall marry that girl that thy heart desireth. He said, sir, excuse me, we are back to where we started. The one that your heart desires. You see what I'm saying? We like that. And it has caused a lot of confusion. So young men and young women now go home. They go to the office. Good morning, sir. Sir, I have some important personal matters. Can I take leave next week? And of course, you go through all the rigmarole. Finally, you approach the throne of God also. And God will say, my son, thou shalt marry the woman whom thy heart desires. I say, thank you, Lord. Thank you very much. You come back home, the confusion starts. Who does my heart really desire? You see the problem? You see the problem? Because we are not proving what the will of God is. So I was telling you that. So it might take Priscilla 1 year to give Aquila an answer. It is not because I'm talking about a good person, a nice Christian woman who wants to do the will of God. Are you getting my point? I'm not talking about those who came to church to find husband. You know, there are people like that. You know, the good men, they are in church. So you want to marry a good husband, you come to church. And then there are guys who think that the good girls are in church. So of course, behold, God is not mocked. So the guy that came to find the girl means the girl that came to find the guy. And the Jezebel and the Ahab will marry themselves and go down to Samaria. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's true. Now we're talking about people who really indeed, I'm teaching Christians, all right? I'm not teaching jokers. I'm not teaching jokers. You know, I told you the other day we went to preach somewhere. And Jonathan, you know that brother who crawled on himself? Sir, you said there are keys of life. I said, yes. Can you just drop two of them for me? Especially concerning prosperity. And when after dropping the first two, The guy lost interest. Because what he wanted to hear, you know what he wanted to hear. I came from an angle that his pastor has been trying to teach them. So when I told the pastor about the incident, he was very happy because the pastor was not around that day. I told him that, listen, number one, prosperity takes time to come. What it looked like. Which kind of God are you preaching? That was my own first one. I said, you must be diligent and be patient. These are not the keys we are looking for, God. We know this key. Want the master key, you know? That one, in one instant, we open 17 doors. No, there are people like that. No, I'm not talking to such people tonight. Amen. I'm talking to those who really want to know the will of God, all right? Now, so, I was saying, so the young Priscilla will be there for a whole year, possibly. That's why, don't leave learning how to recognize God's voice until you have to make a crucial decision. I heard somebody tell me once that some of these things you are preaching now, I don't need them now. It's a very stupid statement to make. You hear what I said? Maybe you feel like you're only 23 and you're a man. Marriage is still far away. You're just about to graduate. So when they are talking on marriage matters, you close your ears. You're a foolish man. You know why? If you don't learn it now, all right? If God was going to spend 4 years to teach you, and you started learning at 30, you will finish learning at 34. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So let nobody tell you that anything they are preaching, once it is the word of God, go and learn it. If they are preaching how to get your healing from God and you are not sick, learn it. Listen, if they are preaching on how to raise children, and it's the word of God, I'm not talking about this psychology that's popular in the body of Christ today. I'm talking about the word of God. Learn it. Because God can do quick work in righteousness. Today you are seeing fellowship doing, this is the day. The following year, God will have just done many things. Unless you know you don't marry. And you say, I pray to the Lord. And for the first 2 years, only my wife and I, the end of the first year, goes out. Four! It's called born one, get one free. Is that the time you want to start? Look, listen. So don't let nobody tell you that. Because no, listen. Really, no, I'm telling you, it's very important. You learn when there's quiet. You learn when there's peace. You don't learn the time of trouble and calamity and troubles. No, you learn now that you don't need it. Why? Because it will take long. In fact, it's harder to learn when you're under tension. Yes. It's harder. It's easier when you're at peace. All this is I'm saying. Aquila can learn it easier. Priscilla can learn them easier if Aquila is not standing there. Because then you can be objective. You know, there are times you use doctrine to deny what you really want to do. I mean, like what you don't want to do. You'll be hiding because you don't want to do this thing. So if any word from above says you should do it, you won't hear that word. So you learn easier when there's no pressure on you, alright? You learn easier. When there's pressure, it's harder to learn under pressure. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? Alright, so this is what I'm trying to make in all of these things. So you see that her praying for 1 year is not just about trying to say, did God say I should marry Aquila or God said I should not? No. It is trying to get to the point. Are you getting my point? Where her heart can convincingly marry Aquila and she won't feel bad about it. Are you getting what I'm saying? Do you get what I'm saying? Yes. Let me stop there. I'm not doing a marriage seminar, all right? I just want to use that one to illustrate my point very well. So you see that when I say that God speaks, yes, it's a matter of fact. God does. But like I've been explaining that the recognition, the ability to recognize that God has spoken is not something you just fine-tune your ears. No, it's something you attain to by the fine-tuning of your heart, by the retraining of your mind. So we read last time that Paul was explaining, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's what we are saying again. All right, I just wanted to review briefly, but I ended up going into discussing all of those things. I said we should open somewhere at the beginning, Galatians chapter 1. Why did I read that? Let's go down to Galatians chapter 1. Please, what I've emphasized, or what I have tried to emphasize, is the fact that most of the things we call, I prayed until God spoke. No. It's the delay is because of the training of our hearts that's taking place. And God doesn't like to just speak like that. He would rather train us into understanding his will. Understanding is what gives you stability. Anything that your heart just suddenly conjures up, do you understand? It's easy to, you will doubt it after, and God knows you will doubt it. Paul said, we have not come to build something on one vision that we supposedly saw. Let's read that one. You'll see why I said we should read this one. Galatians chapter 1. I'm going to start from verse 6 and we'll read quite a number of it. I'm amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another, only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. Now, this is my emphasis from verse 8. But even though we, or an angel from heaven, should preach to you a gospel contrary to that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to that which you received, let him be accursed. For am I now seeking the favor of men, of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still striving to please men, I would not be a bond servant of Christ. Now, there's something I want you to understand. Let me just leave this one here. Paul described that those who are puffed up because of some visions they claim to have. Are you getting my point? Yes. There are people like that. And Paul was saying that no matter what vision a man has, it must align with that which is recorded. That I'm summarizing it now. Are you getting my point? Now, before I discuss this one further, let me go into the next thing I actually wanted to say, why it's necessary that we read this, a follow-up to all things I've been saying. Now, having said all of these things, and I've said this several times to us before, there's what the Bible calls diversities of manifestations in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. All right? I don't want to read it now. And he said all of them is the same God. Now, there are diversities of manifestations. There are. Kenneth Hagin will tell you that he married Aretha. And let me just say this before I finish this story. I hope you have understood now that you cannot just hang on somebody's single testimony because you don't know what his life was like before that point. Kenneth Hagin said that he married Aretha because one day he was praying, and I think either in a vision or something, he heard the Lord speak to him to marry her and all of that, okay? But you understand, Aretha was not from Anambra State while he was from Kogi State. You follow what I'm saying? Those issues he did not have to solve at that point. Maybe he was a Methodist and she was a Baptist or the other way around, but he has solved the issue before that point. Are you getting the point I'm making? These are the issues we must understand. Before we just go and hang on the fact that Ken Hagin saw in a vision, God wants to show you vision too. You say you can't hear it. And let me prove to you in his life, because I read a lot of his books. One day he had a vision, and the Lord came to him, and there was one guy standing behind him. So he said, who is that? And he said, that's your angel. Now listen to what I want to say. And he said, he has a message for you. Now listen to me. I won't give you the whole details. But this is the point. He said there was a day that angel came to give him a message. He said that day he was alone in his mobile home. And he felt somebody, because he remembered it, he felt as somebody entered the room. Actually, he got up, went and checked. And there was nobody there. At the point in time, he felt the person was standing near the bed. Now, listen to what I'm saying. Then after a while, he had a feeling that the person left. Later on in this vision, the Lord told him that really happened. That angel came to give him a message, listen to this, but he was not willing to receive it. I have read Kenneth Hagin's book to and fro. I have not been able to find an explanation for why he was not able to receive it. Are you getting my point? But now with understanding, you know, God didn't even have to show it to me. He knew I would learn it eventually. There are many issues. And that's what I want to understand about life. Many times God wants to pass things across to us. But there are so many strongholds that are not allowing us to receive those things. So you see, many times God wants to pass things across to us, but we are not ready. That's why I keep on telling us, let's stop praying for visions. You don't need them. When you are ready, the one that's necessary for you will come to you. Are you getting my point? So he said that the Lord told him that the angel came to give him a vision, a message, but he was not ready. He was not willing. That's the word that was used. But when I look at it now, the message that he was given, I suppose that probably at that time, he still had a lot of strongholds in his mind. And those strongholds were not allowing him, all right? Or those strongholds would not allow him to receive the instruction that angel wanted to give him. And the angel came to fulfill all righteousness, because God understands all of these things. And having stood there for a while and demonstrated in the realm of the spirit that this man can't receive this, he departed. So when you want to quote somebody's vision that God used to direct him, you must know where his life was by the time God brought that vision. And God has wanted to give you bigger visions, all right? Except that you were not ready to receive them. I just wanted to put that one in by the way. Do you understand my point? So Ken Hagin married his wife because he had a vision. Derek Prince married his second wife. His first wife died. He married his second wife because he had a vision. And let me tell you again about Derek Prince. By the time he came and told his co-workers, you can imagine that maybe he has co-workers like we have in Kingdom World Ministries. United co-workers, I want to marry this person. And all of them refused. And his inner, you know, his brothers that they worked closely together, they refused. Now listen to men of understanding. The first day I heard this, I wondered how a man could make that kind of decision. He said he was going to tell the woman that I'm sorry I bothered you, but it appears that this is not going to work. Why? Because my brothers said no. They are not blood brothers, you know, they are brethren, they're the co-ministers. And listen, when I heard him say that he was going to tell her to forget it, I said, but you had a vision from God. Are you getting my point? But it's now I understand that Paul said, if with a vision, a man shows up and turns over, he scatters all the principles of the word of God, let him be accursed. And the priest understood that if indeed it was a vision of God, God knew how to settle that matter. A lot of people hold on to, God said to me, you know their problem? They are stubborn. They are not willing to be taught. Therefore, they hide behind God said to me. They will do everything wrong. Listen, let me just tell you. Anyway, I'm not talking about marriage now. But be careful before you disobey all proper orders of life because God said to you. That's why I read that scripture first. That Paul said there are things that are solid. They are foundational. Even visions can't turn them upside down. That's what I'm trying to bring out. So, Ken Hagin, God told him to marry. He married. Derek Prince, he had a vision. He married based upon the vision. Many people have married based upon visions. Most people marry not based upon visions. And let me tell you one more time. The fact that you saw a vision is not proof that you are spiritual. Listen, the reason why God gave Peter the vision of the great sheet coming from heaven was because of stubbornness. Are you getting my point? Lack of understanding and the urgency of the situation. Are you getting what I'm saying? It was not a testament to this spirituality of Peter. If anything, it was an indictment upon the fact that these people are carved in stone in their old ways of Judaism. And for many years into the ministry of Peter, he was not cured yet. Go and read Galatians properly, you see Paul refer to it. I told my wife this some time ago, she saw it to be true. There are those who are carried away by visions. Once somebody can say, I dreamt and I saw it and I saw it, they are carried away. As it's a matter of spirituality. The most spiritual man is a man who can discern the will of God without a vision. That's because I told you, spiritualism and spirituality are two different things. A real spiritual man is the one that his mind has been so corrected that he looks at the situation and he decodes the will of God from reasoning spiritually. That's what I mean by spiritually, with the word of God, with the principles of the word of God. Now let me not just forget what I want to bring out. So the issue is simple. So there are times God manifests. Like in Peter's case, now let me just say this. One of the reasons why God manifests like that is when the manifestation or the will of God, let me put it like that, cannot be arrived at using the amount of information available. Or because, like I said, God understands in his mercy that Peter is so used to Judaism, he doesn't understand how to relate to Gentiles. Do you understand the point? Do you understand the point? Now, no matter the revelation, or before I say that, let me just continue. There are diversities of manifestations. If I have time, I'll get down to it. The matter of conscience. A man's conscience. People say your conscience is the voice of your spirit. Have you heard that thing before? Yes. Let me just tell you something what conscience really is. Your conscience is the voice of your habit and the voice of your training. It's not the voice of your any spirit at all. When a mafia man shoots his enemy, his conscience does not talk. Yeah, his conscience doesn't talk. Conscience speaks when you violate your normal, when you violate your training. That's the way to put it. That's when your conscience speaks. Conscience is a recoil. Let me go like that. When a normal training established in your heart is violated. That's why you see, I put a few references down, but I may not refer to them now. Paul would talk about the fact that he served God with a good conscience in persecuting the church. The same Paul went down further and served God with a good conscience in preaching the gospel. Because under Judaism, his conscience was dictated by the laws of Moses. Therefore, his conscience was good as he was persecuting the church. But after he had been trained in righteousness, are you getting what I'm saying? His conscience gets stirred up when he walks against the gospel of Christ. So listen, people say that your conscience is the voice of your spirit. I don't know what it means. Do you follow my point? But conscience is important. And a man shouldn't, and I've mentioned something about it, you don't go against your conscience. That's what the Bible calls doing something not out of faith. My emphasis is on the matter of training. If someone said that my conscience did not prick me, does not mean he's right. It just means he's not trained. I don't know what the hell I said. Listen, right and wrong are matters totally removed from the matter of conscience. It's only when you have trained yourself in right and wrong that the conscience becomes alive. Are you getting my point? There are things that the society says is wrong and God says is right. There are those who still believe that if you tell on your friend, you're a bad person. But God says if your friend incites you to do that which is evil, you must go and report. Are you getting the point I'm making? Alright? Anyway, so one of the manifestations, let's put like that, diversities of manifestations, I said, by which God can minister his will to people, can utter his voice, his conscience, that is agreed. Alright? But we've talked about visions that some men had. One of the ways by which God persuaded me to come to Enugu, I've told you about it before. There are many things, all right? One of them was that one day I was speaking with one guy, Prebo. And he did not even know I was trying to decide to come to Enugu. You know, you are talking with somebody, after a while, the G's just dry. You understand my point? So he looks for what to say. And without his knowledge of the fact that I was considering coming to Enugu, he began to speak about Enugu. He said, Enugu is a nice place, so. Very quiet, you will like it. Just talking about it, he began to preach to me about how nice Enugu is as a place. Those are diversities of manifestations. And I say, hey, and you knew it was the voice of God. Listen, I was already thinking, and do you get my point? Because I have had friends who called me. No, once who spoke to me, said, hey, so Banky, when are you planning to join us? Where? To emigrate to UK. And it was not the voice of God. it was the voice of Satan. And I said, get behind me, Satan. Are you getting what I'm saying? People have said many things. Different people have said different things at different times, like Prebo spoke that time, and none of them registered with me because there was nowhere for them to register. Prebo's just only registered because I was already considering Enugu. And I just accepted his spontaneous utterance as one of the manifestations of God. Do you get my point? Please, I hope you understand that. Now, what am I trying to say in all of this? So there are different manifestations. And I can't tell you this is how God will speak to you. You will discover later how he speaks to you. There's something that God has been doing with me in the last few days, and it's always fun. Now, listen to this. It's very interesting. It's a very trivial thing, but to help you learn a lesson. When I'm looking for something, it happens a lot. It's happened a lot in the last few weeks. All right? When I'm looking for something, I've searched and searched everywhere. I can't find it. And I pray, hey, dear Lord, help me find this thing. I don't find it. Or I'm rushing. Lord, I need to find this thing. Now, let's assume, for example, my car keys. Do you understand? And I've searched everywhere. My wife's not around to ask. Or I asked her, she doesn't know where it is. Who took my car keys? Finally, listen to this. I will just decide to change my shoes for no reason. That why am I even wearing these black shoes? I should wear brown. And I'll kick off the black shoes and pick the brown ones and find the keys under them. This has happened to me. It still happened to me just as I was rushing to come here this afternoon. It still happened again. It's happened so many times that I'll just forget the thing that I'm looking for or the thing that's bothering me and focus on something else to do. And while trying to do that, I discover the other thing. I don't know what you get the point I'm making. This one happened. It's been happening to me so many times in the last few weeks. I'll be looking for a car key. It's a very good example. It don't search everywhere with the key. Finally, I forget. And I say, okay, why don't you just complete marking your script? Maybe when your wife comes back, you'll look for the key. I mean, you ask her and she'll tell you where the key is. And I pick up the envelope containing my student script to start marking. As I pick the envelope up, I hear chicken inside. I check inside. The key fell inside the envelope. That's happened. I'm not making something here. There are diversities of manifestations. But listen to this. Christians don't ever build doctrines or tabernacles or their lives on manifestations. We build them on the word, the revealed truth of God. Those other manifestations only guide us. Listen to me. If you have a vision to marry a woman you don't like, don't marry her until you like her. I'm freezing so that it can enter your heart. If you have a vision or manifestation to marry a man that you don't like, nothing wrong with your vision, nothing wrong with your manifestation. But bros, wait until you like her or like him. I will send the story of the Red Prince as an example. When he first had that vision of the Lord that told him to marry his wife, that his second wife, he said, after he had a vision, he told the Lord that, why should I marry this? I don't even love her. I hardly know her anyway. I think he hardly knew the woman. I can't remember the gist, whether he had the vision before he met her or something. Alright? Then one day she came to see him where he was sitting down, and because she had a bad back, her back had some problems. So she didn't want to sit on the chair. So she asked to sit on the floor. He was sitting on the table. And she went and sat on the floor so that she could put her back against the wall. He said as soon as she sat down like that, he turned to look at her. That was the exact vision that he had of her. And listen to this. At that point, it was as if somebody poured honey into his soul. Love for her suddenly entered his heart from heaven. He suddenly had an intense love for the woman. I'm just now to explain something to you because I need to say this thing because Christians, their denominations have been built on visions. That's a denomination that's not going anywhere. You know how Mormons arose? Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is because of visions that were against the gospel that Paul preached. You know how Islam arose? I have my persuasion. No, sorry, I don't have my persuasion. I'm sorry. It's not a persuasion. It's a suspicion. I have a suspicion. I was reading my Bible today, yesterday, and I saw that in the book of Acts, that when the Holy Ghost came down, and people came from different areas. I used a new American Bible, not New American Standard, there's New American Version. And the people said that among them, they listed amongst those who came and saw the manifestation of the Holy Spirit were Arabs. I saw it there. Then I told myself that, because I have looked at Islam. It's a watered-down version of Judaism. Just go and study it. You see, this is their zeal. It's how zealots used to behave in Israel. Jewish zealots were just like these suicide bombers you see now. Judaism started all this aggression. Nobody today. That's why the Romans got angry and leveled Jerusalem. Now, I'm bringing an issue here. I began to suspect that somebody went to Israel, learned Judaism, and came down to spread it amongst the Arabs, and started calling himself a prophet. His father didn't know who the prophet was. He went to Israel to go and learn what prophets are. What am I saying? Built a whole religion on vision. And because it was about 300 years after Christianity had begun, and the proximity of that area to Christianity, I'm persuaded that these are visions that somebody built to challenge Christianity, claiming he's going after the true God. Are you getting my point? And Paul said, let him be accursed. But this is what I'm making to you. Listen. No matter the revelation you have, no matter the revelation anybody has, all right? We can't build doctrines or lives on them permanently. They are temporary. Let me give an example. Like those days when Bishop Peters and Winners in Lagos started many of the things that caused a lot of problems between him and Tunde Bakar at that time. You know, feet washing, what do you call it? Blood of sprinkling, all those things, about four or five of them. A lot of issues in Lagos. There are plenty of talk. People said, why? Is it in the Bible? I said, listen, there's what the Bible calls diversities of manifestations. As a bishop says that, I want to wash your feet, and the power of God will enter into your life. If you believe in a man, please, let him wash your feet. But it's not a doctrine. I don't know what I hear what I said. It's not a doctrine. It's what the Bible calls what? Diversities of manifestations. That's why they come with testimonies. The only thing that's a doctrine, Paul said it very clearly. All right, in fact, number one, no matter what that testimony is, if that thing even challenges any of the fundamentals of faith, forget it though. I don't care the kind of vision. Look, I told you I read a book. Verse 1 said, and Jesus appeared to me and said this. I said, listen, my brother or my sister, and my sister, write that one. I said, you want to see what I say to my children? I say all kinds of things to my children. Why? They are children. Today, you know what happened? Something happened today. I didn't know how to explain. My little daughter that's about four, she was four, all right? And her younger brother that's just over two came to my study this afternoon. And I was burning a CD for the one we are giving to the radio people. So, you know, if you are burning, the computer mustn't shake. You know, you don't want it. So, I said, okay, let's move back. It's burning. Did you get the point? I was burning a CD. And I told a four-year-old, please move back. It's burning. And the guy looks at me, Jesus Christ, I feel like, Daddy, what is burning? I didn't have to explain that a CD is burning. A CD is burning. You and I know what it means to burn a CD. But as far as you're concerned, there's no fire. Where is it? Now, what am I saying? To explain that kind of thing to her, what do I do? I thought for a moment, I just dismissed it. I said, forget it. Let's just go. A lot of things happen. And then you lower your, your tempo. Let me use that example. With that word. To explain something to a child. Do you follow? And then somebody hearing you going to quote it for adults, you say, this was what Pastor Banky said. You don't tell them that I was speaking to a child. Are you getting my point? And that's what happens a lot of times that causes confusion, all right, in the body of Christ. God helps a child to understand a basic thing about life. Then he builds a doctrine and expects adults to be following him. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, that's why we have so many denominations. That's why. Sometimes God brings out a revelation, which is just a piece of understanding to bring us out of a particular, maybe, rot that we're in, so that we'll come out of it. Then people settle down there. And like I told you, God does not speak English. He communicates. Let me give you this example. I hope it will help you. So God may say to a man, maybe a man is very, very, is very broke. He doesn't have money, doesn't have anything. And the reason why he's that broke is because he doesn't have faith. And the manifestation of his faith, lack of faith, is that every $2 you give him, now only in the spender because he's broke. So God now says, look, stop depending on what you have. So one day he comes somewhere and says that I have not had money for a long time. I say, what do you have in your pocket? He says, all I have is $200. I say, take it and go and give us an offering. Then he takes the $200, gives us an offering, then goes home to relax. Then after that, doors begin to open for him. Are you getting my point? Then he has now learned that generosity is a part of Christianity. A man hears that testimony, it builds a doctrine. If you want to come out of poverty, you will take the last money you have and you will say, man of God, right now. And we have, if you have not done it, if I, let me just, I know you have done it, but you can't be a Christian in this day and age. And then you find a few scriptures to support it too. But the problem is that you now build a doctrine. That's how you know when you know you have built a wrong doctrine. When you deliberately close your eyes to other scriptures so as to keep your doctrine standing, just know you are building a wrong doctrine. Even if you have scriptures to support it, once you deliberately close your eyes to other ones. Please, I hope you bless something today. It looks like this thing. I said I'll finish it today. The thing just not one finish, but I'm ending it there. We can't finish teaching everything in one series. I mean, this is the third time, or fourth time, that we're talking about the will of God. I talked about it on radio. I talked about it here. The second series I did when we came here, or third series, was on this matter. But we can't finish saying everything. But I hope you learned something in this one that I've said. I hope you've learned something. Let me summarize in just a few words. The word of God, the written word of God, that is a perfect will of God. And that's what we are gunning for. Are you getting my point? The understanding of it is what God is trying to infuse into our lives. And I'm saying that the voice of God is clear to us if our ears are open, by our hearts being tuned, all right, by being renewed in our minds with this word. After that, God can use any manifestation to bring us into his will. We don't build doctrines on those manifestations. That's why I give an example that somebody spontaneously spoke to me that Enugu would be a nice place to be. And I took that as a confirmation. And many people have spoken that I should go to other places and have rejected it totally. There is no doctrine now on hearing God by spontaneous speeches from people who have nothing else to say. Are you getting my point? As long as we focus on the word of God. And let me just add this onto it. You realize that the voice of God you thought you heard last year suddenly becomes inferior to what you can hear this year. I don't know whether you understand. You start making progress. There are things God spoke this to me 10 years ago. This year you look back. Were it not that you were here to hear this teaching, you'll have wondered, did God really speak to me 10 years ago? But now you know he did. But that's because that was all I could hear. 10 years after, I have grown. Now God can speak deeper things. In fact, what he said then, I only heard a fragment of it. It is now I'm hearing them deeper. And that's how your life is, and that's how my life is. The Pastor Banky of today, according doing what God says he should do, is only doing that which he can understand and which he's able to do. God said greater things than that which I have heard. And that's why David said, once he has spoken, but twice I have heard it. It's not because God is just repeating himself anyhow. But the first time he spoke, the word didn't return to him void because he had not yet accomplished. Only half of it did David hear. So the word kept on circulating. Then David was ready for the second half. Then that word came again. So God spoke once, he heard it twice. And as a matter of fact, God will speak once. Some of us will hear it 15 times. The one that brought you here is round one. That word is still floating. It will take you from here and take you somewhere else tomorrow. That's round two. Then in about 25 years' time, you will finally come to the full understanding of what God said to you 25 years ago. Do you understand my point? It's that same word, but just seem to be metamorphosing. What's the proper one? Should I say it right? Anyways, it's just changing from one level onto another as you are growing in the realm of the spirit. I hope you learned something today. I hope you've learned something.